Talk and Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 25. How are we doing this morning? Have we had some incredible weather or what? Really incredible weather this last week or so. But anyway, Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. And we only have two more Talking Golf shows left for the season. Today's show and then next Sunday's show. And then we hope to be back next April on the Sunday prior to Masters Week. Hope you have been enjoying this season of Talking Golf. I certainly have. The summer is going so fast. And the U.S. Open Tennis Championship starts tomorrow already. I can't believe it. So I'll be out there again. Many, many years out there. I love it. And it's like the U.S. Tennis Open kind of bridges summer into fall. You know, after 2 weeks of the U.S. Open, suddenly we're well into September. And the weather normally is cooled down by then, and you're only days away from autumn. So I'm actually going up to Newport, Rhode Island, for a speaking engagement at the International Tennis Hall of Fame. So that should be fun. I'm going to show clips of some of the TV interviews I did years ago with all kinds of tennis legends and talk about 42 years covering the U.S. Open Tennis Championship. Is that insane or what? Yeah, I started when I was, 6 years old, but anyway, it's really one of the biggest and greatest sporting events in the country. Every year, right in our own backyard, the U.S. Open Tennis Championship. And I want to thank all of you who came out for my talk at the Rogers Memorial Library in Southampton this past Wednesday. Lots of fun. And, it was a gorgeous day, so I really appreciate those of you who skipped out on whatever you were doing to come in and to hear my talk, and you all asked great questions, and there was a lot of enthusiasm for my book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf, so truly appreciate it. Well, the PGA Tour getting closer to the season finale, the Tour Championship, and the LPGA Tour playing at the golf mecca, St. Andrews, for the AIG Women's Open Championship. And we'll be talking about both this morning. Martin Dempster, who is a sports journalist for The Scotsman, is in St. Andrews and actually lives in that area as well. And we will connect with him in a few minutes to talk about the AIG Women's Open Championship, final major on the women's calendar. And final round starting shortly. It's actually started already, but the leaders don't tee off until I think about 2:15 their time, and they're 5 hours ahead. And then Damon Hack, NBC golf interviewer, co-host of Golf Today and the Golf Channel, he will join us to talk about some of the top issues in the game and hear about his season. It's been a great golf season so far, and the BMW Championship in Castle Rock, Colorado, Castle Pines Golf Club, featuring the top 50 players in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then the top 30 players after today's round will move on to the finale. As I mentioned, the Tour Championship in Atlanta, East Lake Woodlands, and Keegan Bradley, the captain of the 2025 U.S. Ryder Cup team. He was the last player, number 50, in the 50-man field to qualify for this week's BMW Championship. He actually had to wait last Sunday as other players faltered in the St. Jude Championship before getting into this week's BMW Championship as right on the number. And voila, he was fortunate enough to crack the top 50, which earned him a place in all 8 signature events for next year. And in the first round this past Thursday, he shot a 666. He found himself on the top of the leaderboard by one. On Friday, Adam Scott, who's the oldest player in the field at 44 years of age, he shot a bogey-free 963, course record, to get to 13 under for the tournament with a 3-shot lead over Keegan Bradley. And then yesterday, Keegan Bradley, starting 3 shots behind, worked hard to shoot a 70. He had 6 bogeys, 8 birdies. What a round that was, including birding 4 of the last 5 holes. And with that birdie on the 18th, he grabbed the sole lead at 12 under to get 1 shot ahead of Adam Scott. So Adam Scott with a 74, he did not have his best day, but he certainly hung in there, 1 shot off the lead. And so Keegan Bradley today looking to win his 7th PGA Tour title. And then he's projected to move to number 4 and get into the Tour Championship for the 6th time. Adam Scott, he'll start the final round, 1 shot back, looking for his first win since 2020, the Genesis Invitational, and what would be his 15th PGA Tour win. And, you know, they all talk about the freedom of getting into the top 50 after last week's tournament, and by qualifying, you know, getting into the top 50, it frees them up to really play your own game. And Adam Scott using a new set of irons and shafts, by the way. And when he was 20 years old, he actually played at Castle Pines when they hosted the international tournament. And that was his very first start in America. I thought that was a cool piece of trivia. And now he is back, 1 shot off the lead in his 40s. Ludvig Åberg, the 24-year-old Swede, he and fellow Swede Alex Noren, they're 10 under. Of course, you know, Åberg won the RSM Classic this season. Noren, he's looking to win his first PGA Tour title. Xander Schauffele, he had a 67 yesterday. He's 7 under, 5 shots back. And he would have to win today to be the only player who could overtake Scottie Scheffler in the FedEx Cup standings. So I don't know how you feel about the FedEx Cup, the playoffs, but I don't know. It's a little strange to me still after all these years, but it works somehow, right? Wyndham Clark, originally from Denver, Colorado, he is just loving playing in front of his hometown, and the support for him has really been tremendous. He's tied for 5th with Xander Schauffele. And meanwhile, Scottie Scheffler is way down the leaderboard, tied for 35th at +1. Hideki Matsuyama withdrew from the championship before the second round due to a lower back injury. He had won the FedEx Cup. He had won the St. Jude Championship last Sunday and was 1 off the lead after the first round this past week at the BMW Championship, but he had to pull out. But it should not affect his Tour Championship standings. So there's a $20 million purse in this championship, $3.6 mil to the winner. And as I mentioned, after today's final round, the top 30 players will advance to the Tour Championship at Eastlake for a shot at the title. And so players projected to move into the top 30, of course, Keegan Bradley, who started at 50, he's projected to get up to number 4. Adam Scott started at 41. He's projected to climb up to 9. Alex Norwin at 45. He's up to 22. Tommy Fleetwood started just outside the 30 at 31, climbed up 2 spots to 29. And then the players projected to move out of the top 30. Justin Thomas, he was at 22. He would drop to 31. Jason Day was a 25, will drop to 32. Davis Thompson was a 26, will drop to 35. And then Danny McCarthy was a 30 and will drop to 37. So we will talk more about the BMW Championship and the FedEx Cup format with Damon Hack after the 8:40 break. And the AIG Women's Open Championship is at the iconic St. Andrews. And O'Brien played St. Andrews last year. Final round going on. This is the 3rd time St. Andrews has hosted the Women's Open. And the first time was back in 2007 when Lorena Ochoa won it. And then Stacey Lewis won it in 2013. You remember her incredible approach shot, Stacey Lewis? It was like a 200-yard shot on the road hole. And she crushed a 5-iron, landed about 10 feet from the hole, and made that birdie and then birdied 18 to win it. So exciting golf at St. Andrews. And the Women's Open actually did not exist until 1976. and it almost folded in the 80s. And then the Royal and Ancient took over. And we've certainly seen notable improvement through the years with venues and prize money. I mean, they play at just great golf courses. Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, Royal Troon, Carnoustie, Muirfield. So, yeah, they've really upped the game now that the RNA has taken it over. And yesterday, Nelly Korda, she had a three-shot lead going into Saturday's round three. She carded a 4-under-68 on Friday, and she led Lilia Vu and Charlie Hull through 36 holes. But in round three yesterday, Korda, she struggled. She bogeyed 12, 13, dropping to 7-under at that point. And Ji Ye Shin, with a birdie on 17, grabbed a share of the lead with Korda at 7-under. And then Shin ended up carding a 5-under-67 to finish at 7-under. But then Korda double-bogeyed the 16th. And she did birdie 18 to finish off her round. But Korda shot a +375, which dropped her down to 5-under. And so she will start today's final round 2 shots back. And Lilia Vu shot a 1-under, and at 6-under for the championship, Vu is 1 shot behind in second place. Vu is the defending champion. And this, the Ji Ye Shin of Korea, she won the Women's Open at Royal Liverpool in 2012 by 9 shots. And then 4 years before that, she won the Women's Open at Sunningdale when she was only 20 years old. And she's 36 years old now, and she is looking to win her third major title, and it would be her third Open Championship title. So clearly, she loves links golf and knows how to navigate the weather. And it's going to be tough, I think, for anybody to beat her, but we'll see. Anything can happen. Depends on the weather out there. I mentioned Lilia Vu, the defending champ. She's 1 shot back, quarter 2 shots behind. Jenny Shin and Lydia Ko are only 3 shots back. And Charlie Hull struggled yesterday with a +3, dropping down to 10th place, 5 shots back. But, you know, they're all very much still in this based on, I'm hearing that the wind is blowing over there and the conditions certainly continue to be challenging at St. Andrews. So the RNA announced on Wednesday that it was offering a record $9.5 million in prize money this year for the women, which is up $500,000 from 2023, and it's 3.5 times as much as what was awarded the last time the Open came to St. Andrews in 2013. So when Stacey Lewis won the Open Championship in 2013, she won $402,583, so under $500,000. This year, the winner today will take home $1.425 million. So yeah, they have come a long way, baby. So the money has gone up for these women. Talk about a mishap. There is an LPGA rookie. Her name's Anna Pelez Trevino, who was disqualified from the Women's Open on Friday after her caddy used a distance measuring device on 2 holes. And the use of a distance measuring device is prohibited at the championship. So, boy, shame on the caddy and her for not knowing the rules, right? I mean, that's just too bad. And apparently she was going to make the cut. So what a missed opportunity for the rookie. That's a tough thing there. All right. Well, anyway, we are going to go live to St. Andrews, Scotland, connect with Martin Dempster, golf correspondent for the Scotsman, and actually a resident of Fife, the county where St. Andrews is. And we'll talk about the AIG Women's Open Championship, the birthplace of golf. How many of you played St. Andrews? What a thrill to be able to play that golf course, right? So we'll connect with Martin when we come back. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. iBeCool apparel also features UPF 50+ sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, soft with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibkol.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori, and we now go live to St. Andrews, where the AIG Women's Open is taking place, final round in progress, and joining us is Martin Dempster, golf correspondent for The Scotsman, and a resident of Fife. Good morning, well, I guess it's good afternoon there, Martin. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Ann, how are you?
Good. What's happening over there? Set the scene for us.
Well, I'll tell you, it's what we describe here, Anne, as a dreek day in Scotland. You'll know what they're all about. It's a little bit rain at the moment, drizzle, and the media centre roof is starting to rattle, and that, of course, means the wind is picking up. So it's been a tough 4 days here in the AIG Women's Open. The leaders go out in just about an hour's time, and we're set for a fascinating afternoon.
Wow. I mean, it's you just never know where you're going to get over there, right? Four or five seasons in a day. And yesterday, it seemed like it was probably the best scoring day of the 4 days, right?
It was, yeah. It was a little bit brighter yesterday. The sun was out. There was a wind there. But it wasn't, I mean, the first day, it was a really, really strong wind on the first day. And they did really well to actually complete play. There were a few times it must have been touch and go whether play could continue, but they kept it going. And thankfully, we're on schedule to get finished today. As I say, it's a fascinating leaderboard that we've got heading into the final few hours of the final major of 2024.
So how have the crowds been over there, Martin? What's the interest been like for this Women's Open Championship?
It's been excellent. Obviously, the Men's Open is on a sort of different level in terms of spectator numbers, but this event has grown in stature. It became a major in 2001. The RNA took over the run on it more recently, and it's really got a nice feel to it. A lot of families were out there yesterday, lots of women out watching, and yeah, it's a really good event, and of course, everyone just loves being at St. Andrews, as I know you do as well.
And you said you live near there?
I do, yeah. I'm only 45 minutes away from here. My wife was born in St. Andrews, so we regularly come up here just to go in the town. And there's no better place than St. Andrews, not just for golf, obviously the university, etc. And I often tell people that during the Dunhill Lynch Championship, if I want to go for a walk, I don't necessarily go down onto the golf course or go up into the town. It's much more interesting up there at times.
I love walking around the town of St. Andrews. What a historic town, and going to old Tom Morris's gravesite and, you know, the university. It's just an incredible place. So how many times have you actually played St. Andrews, Martin?
I've played it a good few times. And like lots of people, I wasn't sure what was going on the first time I played the old course. It takes a little bit of time to get used to it, and certainly having a caddy helps, round about the greens in particular. But when you get to walk down the first fairway and back up 17 and 18, or even though I've maybe done it a good few times, it's still very, very special. And just being at St. Andrews, Anne, it's just wonderful. And I can see people from all over the world are here this week, and they're just loving being here. No, that's no surprise.
Remember, I'm sure you've covered, you know, all the U.S. Open championships, you know, during your career that had been at St. Andrews. But remember when Tiger won in, was it 2000? What year was it when it was so hot there? It was in the 80s. It was just unusually warm. Do you remember that U.S. Open? Open championship?
The Open, yeah. Well, we don't get warm Opens very often, unfortunately. But, yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what year that was. But I think the great thing about an Open is that you don't want it to be flat, calm. You want a mix of weather. The Men's Opens had pretty brutal weather on the Saturday at Troon earlier this summer. And the women have faced a real battle this week because of the wind. It's looked more like a Dunhill Lynx sort of tournament where everyone's got their woolly hats and mitts on, but it's only August in Scotland. It's not really normally like that at this time of the year. But what I've loved is that the women, Nelly Korda included, have really relished the conditions out there. There's been no moaning about it being too tough, etc. They've really embraced the challenge, and that's what Lynx Golf's all about.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, well, they're wearing, you know, caps and earmuffs, and it must. And I hear it's colder today, actually, than it was even yesterday. So, and to see them, first of all, the skill level is incredible, but to see them trying to overcome the elements, it's fascinating. And this Jie Shin grabbed the lead. She carded a 567 yesterday, and she's one shot ahead of Lilia Vu, and then two shots ahead of Nelly Korda. And what are your thoughts about Nelly Korda? I mean, she had that incredible win streak earlier this season, 6 wins in 7 tournaments. But, you know, we have really not seen this consistency from her since. But, you know, anything can happen today as you because of the weather elements, right?
Yeah, I mean, Nelly was coasting, actually. She opened with 268s and took a 3-shot lead into yesterday's third round. She got off to a bogey start, but regained her composure and was out in front again until she hit a tee shot out of bounds at 16, which was a real shock. She then bogeyed 17 before birdie in the 18th. So it wasn't the day she was looking for, but she's been very impressive, apart from those sort of couple of holes late on yesterday. Scottish fans, British fans are loving her here this week, because, as you mentioned, that great run of form early in the year was Scottish Heffer-like, of course. So, yeah, I mean, certainly Jaya Shin's out in front, and she's bidden to become the only player to win this event 3 times since it became a major. She's a good player. She plays most of her golf in the Japanese tour now, so she's certainly going to be tough to beat. Lilia Vu, she's bidden to become the first player since 2011 to win this event back-to-back. Nelly Korda's right in the hunt there, and I think Lydia Ko, of course, we need to mention her, the new Olympic champion, LPGA Hall of Fame member. She's only 3 shots off the lead. So if you mention those 4 names in any tournament in contention going into the last round, it's very, very tasty, and that's why everyone's so excited about what's going to lie ahead over the next 5 or 6 hours here.
Yeah, I mean, Jie Shin, as I mentioned earlier in the show, if she wins today, it will be her 3rd major title and all 3 Open Championship wins. So something about her, she must love playing Lynx golf, right?
Yeah, she did. The first one, she won, the previous 2, one was at Royal Liverpool, one was at Sunningdale. So Sunningdale, of course, isn't a Lynx course, but she's got great experience. This is her 3rd Women's Open at St Andrews. Played in the first one here in 2007. That, of course, was won by Lorena Ochoa. Then 2013, when Stacey Lewis won. So Jaya Shin, she's one of the few players who's playing here for the 3rd time. And there's no doubt that you know, and just experience of playing the old course is a big thing. And that could be a big factor as she sets out holding a 1-shot lead over Lilia Vu.
Well, the iconic St. Andrews clubhouse, I read, dates back to 1854. And women were finally allowed to become members in 2014, ending a 260-year ban. What was the sentiment like over there back then, since you live right there, Martin, when they finally allowed women to become members of the RNA?
Yeah, I mean, it had to happen, Anne. I mean, no, we couldn't live in the dinosaur times forever, could we, in golf? No, thankfully, things have moved on. Not only the RNA, the Honourable Company of Edinburgh Golfers at Muirfield, they opened their doors to women, as did Royal Troon and a number of other Scottish clubs that had been men-only members for a long time. The women have they've been using the clubhouse. It's been renovated over the last couple of years. They've got some new locker rooms down in the bowels of the building. The players have been using those this week, and they've loved being, I mean, you know, the RNA clubhouse. Last night I was walking up the side of the 18th, and it was dark and it's lit up, and I mean, it's such a fantastic sight. One of the great, most iconic buildings in golf, if not the most iconic building in golf. And there's no doubt, as I say, this is the 3rd AIG Women's Open here. There'll be more to come, no doubt, in the future. And the women have just loved being at this superb venue, and as you say, I feel lucky just to live not too far away and never take that for granted.
It's just an incredible village, for sure. And now, when you mentioned women members, I remember reading, I think Princess Anne, she was one of the first female members, Laura Davies, Annika Sorenstam. I'm sure you've seen Annika there, right?
I've not seen her this week, actually. Oh. I don't know if she's actually here, but certainly I've been here since Tuesday, long hours, as you know, covering golf tournaments, but I've not seen Annika. So, but yeah, she's certainly one of the honorary members of the RNA, I would certainly like to see someone like Lydia Ko join her on the list. I think Lydia Ko is just a tremendous ambassador for women's golf. And golf in general. Everyone was delighted to see her win the Olympic gold medal in Paris just over a fortnight ago. And we spoke to her at the Women's Scottish Open a few times last week and then this week, and she's just a joy to listen to, so engaging, and she's one of those figures in golf that we'll feel blessed that we've had someone like that in our sport.
Absolutely. We talked a lot about Lydia Ko when she won the Olympic gold and earned that 27th point to get into the LPGA Hall of Fame, which is the most toughest Hall of Fame to get into, for sure. How about Renee Powell? Do you ever run into Renee over there? Renee is just an incredible legend in golf, and I understand that she's the one that her father built the golf course in Ohio in our country. And okay. She said, I do a chapter on Renee in my book, Life on the Green, and apparently they named a dormitory after her at St. Andrews, and she's an honorary member of the RNA, which I think is just so well deserved based on everything she's accomplished and overcome in her career.
You kindly gave me a copy of that book earlier in the year, and it's been such a busy year, I've not had a chance to get around to reading it. So I'm not up to speed with Renee Power, but I will certainly do so once the sort of golf season dies down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I know she's over there. And when I was at the Masters this year, during the practice round, I ran into Renee on the 12th hole. And who was she with? None other than the president of St. Andrews University, who is a woman. So it's just a really interesting, they really do respect and revere, some of these top female legends in sport. And it's good to see, the progress that has been made. And the RNA is really leading the way now, right? Once they kind of connected with and took over the Women's Open, we're seeing a lot more prize money. I read earlier that prize money now, it's a record $9.5 million for this year, up $500,000 from last year. So there seems to be, they've made a lot of progress for women, the RNA.
100%. That prize fund's tripled over a period of time. I think it's about 7 or 8 years, which is fantastic. That of course, is reflected across all the women's majors. But I think a lot of credit has to go to Martin Slumbers, the RNA CEO. In his time in that job, the RNA have really been driving a bid to grow women's golf. They've had a women's charter, and Martin certainly helped this event grow. And of course, this is his final event, final professional event before stepping down as the CEO. And there was no doubt that he spoke with pride about how this event's grown in a press conference early in the week. We've got the Curtis Cup on British soil next week at Sunningdale. That, of course, is the amateur equivalent of the Solheim Cup, although it's just GB and I. On the back of this event, let's hope more young girls, young boys as well, who will be watching the likes of Nelly Korda, etc., want to pick up a golf club on the back of these two big events on Scottish soil.
Yeah, what a great assignment, Martin Dempster. Not only covering the Women's Open Championship there, but living only 45 minutes away from St. Andrews. Who are you picking to hold up the trophy today?
Yeah, well, I would like Nelly Korda to do it. I've been very impressed with her. It's the first time I've really had the chance to see her close up. But Lilia Vu at Walton Heath 12 months ago was very dogged in the final round. She's a real gutsy competitor. A couple of times this week, you've thought the rounds have been getting away from her, but she's dug in and sort of got scores that have mattered. And I do think that Lily Avu, as I say, who's trying to become the first player to win this event back-to-back since 2011, I think she's going to be the one that we should be keeping an eye on when it comes down to the business end. Down 17, of course, a road hole, that's going to play a big part. But, yeah, listen, whoever wins today is going to earn it. We've all enjoyed this event, and let's hope that St Andrews embraces this event going forward.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Hey, what a pleasure to talk to you. Your favorite thing to do in St Andrews, before I let you go, what would it be, Martin?
My favorite thing to do in St Andrews is just walk through St Andrews, walk up the town, walk down, down to the old course, behind the 18th green. It's just phenomenal. I get as much joy walking in St Andrews as I do hitting golf shots, and of course that's why so many people come from around the world here. But one of my favourite places in the world, and always will be.
Martin Dempster, golf correspondent for The Scotsman. What a pleasure. I could listen to you talk all morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martin. Really appreciate your insight. Enjoy the final round of the AIG Women's Open Championship.
Thank you very much.
I love it, Martin. I just love those accents, right? Oh, gosh. Anyway, coming up, Damon Hack, NBC golf interviewer and co-host of Golf Today on the Golf Channel. But first, let me tell you that iBeCool luxury athleisure wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. iBeCool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. iBeCool apparel also features UPF 50 plus sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, ultra-soft fabrics with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibkol.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning to you and welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. So glad you could join us. And Damon Hack has been covering golf for years, and you can see him on the Golf Channel as co-host of Golf Today and on NBC as an interviewer at some of the top golf tournaments and championships in the world. And Damon joins us now. Welcome to Talking Golf, Damon Hack.
Good morning, Ann Liguori. How are you?
I'm fine. I think the last time I saw you, you were in an airport somewhere, of course.
Exactly.
During a conference call with our Met Golf Writers board meeting. I just love it. But what a year in golf, and what a year you've had. And I'm curious what have been some of your own personal highlights from this season of golf, Damon.
Gosh, I've seen a lot of airports and a lot of green grass, though, and I love the game. And, I always love going to the Masters. I went to the Open Championship this year. Royal Troon was awesome. Xander Schauffele won his second major of the season. The FedEx Cup playoffs have started. That conference call that you're talking about, I just left Memphis, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoff. I'm on my way to the President's Cup in a couple of weeks in Montreal. And I also covered the Olympics for NBC. I covered for our West Coast and Mountain Time Zone viewers. And just to be able to cover the likes of Sha'Carri Richardson and Scottie Scheffler, getting it done, Lydia Ko, getting the final piece of her LPGA Hall of Fame career. And, of course, seeing the greatness of Katie Ledecky in the pool. I mean, there's so many. The Olympics were awesome. So it's hard to pick a favorite. The golf has been awesome. The Olympics were great. You got gold medals from the men's and women's basketball teams. The U.S. women's soccer got a gold medal. It's just been an awesome summer.
Well, you covered all sports, right, with Sports Illustrated. So had you covered Olympics before this year?
Yeah, I was actually in Athens for the New York Times in 2004. That was my first time covering the Olympics. So, yeah, I've done Athens. I did Tokyo for NBC. I covered the biathlon for NBC in South Korea in 2018. So this is actually my fourth time covering the games. And at SI, I covered golf in the NFL, and I covered the Knicks for Newsday in a past life back when Van Gundy was the coach, and you had Ewing and Chris Childs and Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell. So I've been in the area for a while. I was down in Florida for 8 years when Golf Channel was down there. And then, of course, Golf Channel got relocated to Stamford, Connecticut. So I moved back up to the Northeast. But, yeah, I've covered a whole bunch of different sports. And the Olympics has always been a highlight because you just bring all these various athletes from around the world and these different disciplines that you don't see week to week in sports. You know, you don't see kayaking and wrestling like you do in the Olympics and all these different things. You know, breakdancing made its debut, which had a little bit of controversy, as you know. It right. will not be a part of the program in 2028, but the Olympics always intriguing and a lot of fun.
Breakdancing, that was a stretch, I must say.
No doubt.
Unbelievable. But yeah, I've covered six Olympics for the radio, the network radio rights holders, and there's nothing quite like an Olympics, Damon. It's just, and I, again, if you can go to other events, as you, it sounds like you have, it's just, I don't know, it's just so exciting. And Paris just seemed to do everything right. I mean, I heard nothing but positive reports about how they ran the games, from transportation to technology. It was really great to hear.
Yeah, everything ran smoothly, and the stars performed. You know, you have the storylines like Leon Marchand, the swimmer from France, had a bang-up games, and Katie Ledecky was incredible. Steph Curry, Scottie Scheffler, Lydia Ko. I mean, you know, the big-time players, Asia Wilson in women's basketball, you had the stars perform, and you had some great underdog stories as well. But listen, you know, we're a quarterback business. We, you know, we love Derek Jeter, and we love Eli Manning and Tom Brady and the late great Dave Anderson, our friend, and who was a longtime member of the Met Golf Writers. I used to sit next to him when I wrote for the New York Times. And one day I was struggling to find a topic to write about. He says, "Damon, always write the quarterback." And what he meant was, you write the star player. You know, you write the big-time player. Everyone wants to read about, you know, Derek Jeter and Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden. They want to read about the big-time names and the big-time players. And I think the Olympics had a plethora of big-time stars performing at the height of their power.
Certainly great advice from the great Dave Anderson, for sure. Well, let's get into the BMW Championship. So 30 players from the field of 50 will advance after today's final round to the Tour Championship, the Tour finale. Do you like the FedEx Cup playoffs, Damon? I mean, is it this format? Have you gotten used to it? Do you like the way they do it?
I like it more now than I did earlier. I like that the numbers have gotten smaller. I thought 125 was too many players for a playoff. As a sports fan, I wanted more jeopardy. I wanted more broken hearts. And I wanted the best of the best to be rewarded. So I like the start of 70 players. I might even go a little bit tighter than that, but I think the move from 125 to 70 was good. I like the move to 70 to 50 to 30. So I do like the format more than I used to. I think the tour was trying to find a way to bind the season together and to have a little bit of a strong finish to a year when most people are paying attention to the majors and the Ryder Cup in the President's Cup. So this was the PGA Tour's answer of, okay, football has a Super Bowl, baseball has a World Series, NBA has the NBA Finals. What can we do at the end of our season to have eyeballs on our product, bringing the best players in the game together in the FedEx Cup playoffs were their answer? And I thought it was a little bit, I'll use the term flabby at the start. It was just a little too many players that didn't necessarily have great seasons that were in the playoffs, but now you've got the sharpest 70, and then the sharpest 50, and then the sharpest 30, and I'm okay with that.
But what about how the different under par starts? Like Scottie Scheffler, number one in points, would begin the tournament 10 under par. That to me always seemed a little strange.
Yeah, I don't love that. I think the tour, and we both know, they've tried various different ways to do it. There have been years when the FedEx Cup champ was already decided before they got to East Lake. You know, Vijay Singh had such a great year 1 year back in 04. No, it would have been 04, but a little bit later than that. It would have been 08. Tiger won in 07. Vijay won the next year. And then he had such a big lead, and that the tournament, essentially the season-long race, was decided. This is a little bit messy when Scottie starts with minus 10 and Xander will probably start with minus 8 and then Rory at minus 7. And then if Keegan holds on today and wins the BMW, he started minus 6. He'd be in fourth place, projected fourth from 50, which is a great move.
Incredible story.
It shows how well he's playing in Denver. But, yeah, you know, we're used to seeing 72 holes. Everybody starts at the same spot. It's growing on me a little bit. I don't love it, but I know that the tour has tried many different ways and waiting systems and trying to have some sort of jeopardy. After the first day, and we've seen this before, just because the guy starts at minus 10 doesn't mean he's going to win. I mean, Scotty's been in that position before, and Rory caught him and won the FedEx Cup for his third time when everybody thought that Scotty would get the job done. So I do think it's a little bit odd and maybe a little unwieldy, but it doesn't mean that we won't have some drama come Saturday and Sunday in Atlanta.
Exactly. And Keegan Bradley, our captain, Ryder Cup captain for next year, taking that one-shot lead at 12 under over Adam Scott. I mean, had to just kind of wait a week ago to see if he was going to even qualify for this, get into the top 50 for the BMW Championship. But, you know, what I've seen from and heard, you know, from watching him this week, his status seems to have been elevated by being named Ryder Cup captain. I mean, the reception for him and for his play this week has just been really fun to watch. I mean, he has this whole new status, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. He's always been a passionate player who plays his best when he's wearing red, white, and blue. And he's had his heart broken in defeat in 2014 as a player for Tom Watson's Ryder Cup team. Didn't get to play that much. And didn't have his heart broken, you know, most recently back in 2023 when he didn't make the Ryder Cup team when he thought he probably would get a spot on Zach Johnson's team. And the PGA of America really thinking outside the box. Said, listen, we know this guy bleeds red, white, and blue, loves representing the country in the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. And you know, they asked Tiger, who obviously won a U.S. Open at Bethpage Black and who would have had the crowds going crazy. And they said, let's get this kid from New England, who went to St. John's, who has his own ties to Long Island and Bethpage, and he used to sneak out of the golf course. He's only supposed to play 14 holes, but sometimes or they hop on from the road and play the final four holes sometimes. I mean, he tells some great stories about doing funny things at Bethpage Black, but the kid's got so many great ties to the area. He's a Red Sox fan, so he'll get a little stick from the crowd, but when it comes to wearing the red, white, and blue, and wanting the U.S. to beat Europe, it's going to be all oars and boats rowing in the same direction.
Yeah, I really love the pick. I love the fact that he was picked as Ryder Cup captain. He knows the guys. He's playing on the tour. Yet he's a little older and separated. You know what I mean? I mean, he's close enough to the guys, but yet older and can make his decisions without being swayed, and you know, and as patriotic as you can get. He's just a Ryder Cup. He has so much passion for it. So I love the pick and all the ties to the New York area, as you mentioned. As the season winds down, Damon, what are your thoughts on Player of the Year, Xander or Scotty?
I'm going Scotty. I just think that six wins, and I know that Xander's got two major championships. But Scotty's got the Masters and the Players and four signature events. And though it doesn't count in terms of the PGA Tour wins, he also won a gold medal in Paris. And even though the Players, you know, aren't supposed to weigh that, it's another huge accolade in a season of them for the world number one. And also the Players pay attention to, like, scoring average and strokes gained off the tee and the kind of inside baseball, as it were, you know, stats from the golf season. And I just think Scotty has been a dominant force, the two majors for Xander notwithstanding. It's been fun following these two kids, and they are similar in that they love work. It was like a billion degrees in Memphis, and they were both on the driving range after rounds of golf, working on their game, sweating through shirts. I'm going Scotty for Player of the Year.
I agree with you. Scotty Scheffler, I would pick him over Xander. Definitely. Very close. What a great season they both have had. It's made it very exciting for people like you and me who cover this sport for a living. And, hey, always great to catch up with you, Damon Hack. Continued success. Love your work. And we'll see you somewhere, probably in an airport.
No doubt. Thanks so much, Dan.
Enjoy the day. Beautiful golf day. My thanks to Damon Hack, to Martin Dempster in St. Andrews, to Brian Rascona in the studio. What a show today, Brian. Great job. Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by IB Cole Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Icefill cooling technology along with UPF 50 Plus sun protection. Visit ibkol.com. to learn more. Mark Melusis is up next, and I look forward to visiting with you next Sunday morning for what will be our final show of the season, right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGorrie.